Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. Welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about growing your hop army. There's some work involved here, and you need a hand if you're going down this path. So let's talk about it. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at the Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, howdy, hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, episode number 372. If you can believe that, how stinking cool, man. I've been on a bunch of other folks' podcasts here recently. I don't know how many of them are going to be out at the time of recording this. I have to record some of these a couple weeks in advance because of travel plans and airplanes and trains and riding on horses and mules to get to certain places that I go to, and I can't pack the microphone and the computer and all that stuff with me. I guess I could, but I'm not, so I record them a little in advance. But a couple of those podcasts, the Environmental Transformation Podcast, that episode I know is out. That was a great chat with Sean Grady. Yeah, so check that one out. You can Google this stuff. You can find it. I was on the Illusion of Safety podcast. That was an absolute heck of a fun chat. And then I was on the Counter-Errorism podcast. So go check out all three of those. And maybe by the time this stinking thing comes out, I've been on more. But it's cool. You get to go listen to me chat with folks interviewing me. Yeah, weird, right? Instead of me interviewing folks, we're sitting here talking to you about some cool ideas around human and organization performance. Before we get into today's episode, talking about cool ideas related to human and organizational performance and beyond, on, let me tell you about a couple things. First, our starting point cards. Here you go. Here's some ASMR for you today. You ready? Here we go. Let me whisper so it sounds very, very, very nice. And I'm going to.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's do that one more time. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm holding our tarot-sized cards. That means that they're bigger. Yeah, I had that question. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that they're bigger. And another thing that's cool about this is that they come in a nice little metal carrying case. Listen to this. Ready? Ooh, you can hear them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Keeps them nice, safe, and secure. People like these. People like the original ones better. That's the biggest feedback that I got about the cards early on. I was like, the boxes are card boxes, and they break down over time. And so we tried to give you an option that doesn't break down.
Because I'm wild, yeah.
And then people were like, yeah, we still like the other ones, the other card box. So they're all available there for you on the website, thehopnerd.com/SP. While you're over there, you can download our sample card decks, which is a PDF, and it's got a whole bunch of questions in there. You can take them. You can try them out. It's a ton of fun. And you can check out licensing. So shoot me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can click on that little inquire about licensing button there. And we're working with tons of organizations to do exactly that, from co-branded limited run things to perpetual co-branded licensing to white label perpetual licensing within their organizations, because people want to be able to customize these things. In particular, they might want to work on some questions, but mostly people want to put this in their color scheme with their logos and make it, really bake it in as an internal tool, because they've been using the card decks and they like them. They love them, and they have to have more of them. But they want it to say, insert whatever their company name is here. But yeah, a really good example of one that we just did is with our buddies over at Decra to celebrate their 100-year anniversary. Congrats on that, folks. I mean, that's freaking huge, where we got to work with them to develop a co-branded deck that has their 100-year logo on it. It's got their Decker logo on the inside of it. It's got Starting Points logos on it. It's black and it is green and it is chock full of operationally curious questions. And it's just really, really stinking cool. Like it, love it. Yeah, got to have more of it. And if you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, get in touch. You know where to find me, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or peruse the website, www.thehopnerd.com. You can do everything from request a quote to book a consult, which means that you get to put some time on my calendar and we get to chat. How cool is that? Or you can just send me an email and say, hey, let's do this thing. Happy to help you any way that I can. If you're looking for that person, that boots on the ground, down in the mud, down in the muck, that person that has done this, lived this internal to organizations, that person, I'm your person. Again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Everything from keynotes to workshops to learning, team facilitation to anything else. You can go check it out on the website. Now, another thing that I want to bring up with you before we really get into today's episode is that if you've been hanging around here for a long time, you know that I am a man of few simple pleasures, things that really bring me joy. One of those is a nice ice cold cold brew. I get a lot of hate for this, but my favorite cold brew is still Starbucks. Yeah, just straight up Trenta cold brew. Nothing in it. Not iced coffee, not nitro cold brew, just the regular old Starbucks cold brew. I like some other ones, but it's pretty much my favorite. Not really like much of anything else at Starbucks, but I like this one. As long as they don't change it, they've probably, I think, have a customer for at least most of my life. So I like coffee. I like coffee. I like steak. That's the other one. And I've shared with you before that I spent a long chunk of my life using smokeless tobacco. Shame on me. I know, yeah. Well, if you've been around construction for very long, or you grew up in the holler, like I grew up in the holler, that was just kind of a thing. It's like, hey, you turned 5. Here's your first can of Skoal. Enjoy. I started that really early in life. Obviously knowing the risks as I got a bit older, quit a few times. And I don't want to blame it on my profession or the places that I worked, but it's hard to stay quit. When you walk into a meeting and the vice president is has a pocket knife out and is cutting out the top of a soda can to use as a spittoon, and then he says, here, would you like some? It's hard to say no to that when you really, really, really enjoy those things. I will tell you the thing that has helped me stay quit, because I have stayed quit at least off of actual tobacco products for about 4 or 5 years now, and it has been those little nicotine pouch things. Yeah, there's little nicotine pouch things. And you've heard me scream and moan about not being able to get my hands on the ones that I have preferred, which has been Zen, for a really long time. Well, I took a risk and I ordered a bunch. So Zen got to where you couldn't order stuff. I travel a lot. I don't like trying to find places to buy this stuff. I order it and then it comes to my house and then I consume it over months, and then I reorder more. When that stopped with Zen, I was kind of on the market of looking for other places to buy it, and I found these things called Alp. Yeah, and I've tried a bunch, and a lot of them were just kind of like, that's just not quite it. And when I ordered these, I took the risk. I got a box of them, and I like them. I like them. Now, I think I'm supposed to tell you here something about like nicotine being an addictive product, and you probably shouldn't do it if it's not something that you already do. That's the advice that I would give you, is to stay away from it unless you are already a nicotine addict such as myself. But if you are using tobacco products and you're looking for a better alternative than tobacco, these things are really, really stinking nice. Now, I wouldn't share anything with you that I don't use. And so since I'm using this one, I'm liking it. I'm loving it. If you are in the market for a bit of a better alternative to your smokeless tobacco or smoking cigarettes or something like that, if you want to support the show and try something new, you can head over to alppouch.com/thehopnerd. Yeah, alppouch.com/thehopnerd. And you can get your hands on these things and support the show at the same time. Again, don't start doing this if you don't already do this. It just ended up being a great way for me to get off of the far, 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 far worse. Hey, shove a bunch of chemical-laced tobacco in your mouth to get a little bit of nicotine. This is just the nicotine. It's pretty stinking cool. I am a man of simple pleasures. Coffee, a little bit of safer, my humble opinion, just my opinion, not a medical expert here, obviously, a bit safer way to consume a little bit of nicotine throughout my day, and some steak, and I'm pretty much ready to go. Other than today, I had an IV today. Yeah, I got an IV because I've been traveling a bunch. I've been feeling a little worn out. I had a little bit of the crud, and so, yeah, if you get a little bit of more pep in my step today as we're having our conversation, it's probably a mixture of all the above. I've had coffee. I've had nicotine. I've had steak. And I am 100% hydrated and pumping vitamins through my veins at this exact moment in time. So check out those podcasts. Make sure that if you need a hand, thehopnerd@gmail.com, get a hold of me. Check out the books. Check out Starting Points. Make sure that you check out the resource page over on the website. There's a ton of stuff that you can download there as well, including all the funny videos that we make. I'm getting ready to work up a new little series starring Daryl. So more to come on that in the future. So keep an eye on LinkedIn, keep an eye on YouTube. I'll let you know here when they're available, but go check out all the old videos that we've made there too. If you go to LinkedIn, make sure you're following me. You click posts and you can click videos and you can see all the wacky stuff that we've put out there. So with all of that out of the way, let's just jump right on in to today's episode where we're going to talk about growing your hop army. Here we go. Growing your little army around human and organizational performance is kind of a big stinking deal. And what I mean by that is a lot of us stumble onto these ideas of hop or safety differently or whatever we want to call it. You know, I'm going to give you a little spiel here about how I'm not all that interested in what we call it. I think us getting obsessed about what we call stuff makes things weird. We get into arguments. It just gets a bit deranged, especially on social media. Yeah, that old song and dance, but we're just going to call it hop for the sake of our conversations, just like we always tend to do. But most of us stumble into these ideas. We're looking for a way to approach the safety of work a bit differently, and a lot of times just leadership. Overall, we've usually grown maybe frustrated, tired, of our more blame-centered approaches to leadership overall, the safety included. We've gotten tired of that. We've gotten worn out with how brutal we treat people. We've gotten really frustrated with the fact that we're not really putting a dent in things because things go wrong. And we go out and tell people to try harder, to be better, yeah, to be less like people. To make less errors. If you cared more, none of this would have ever happened. Me, higher up in the hierarchy of the organization, I clearly care much more than you do because you're the one making errors and mistakes. The last person that touched it, the whole old song and dance. We got tired of that. We realized that it's not really working very well, that we need to do something different. And we stumble into these ideas or we start trying to do things different and then discover some of these ideas. And they back up some of our thinking around these things, or at the very least, give us a bit of a language around these things. And we're off to the races. We're ready. We are ready to bring about this change within our organizations. It's kind of like that thing when you're a green safety professional or a green anything, right? Insert whatever profession is here. You're brand new. You're green as new grass, and you think you're going to change the world. Yeah. In a few years in, you're like, help me, please. It's kind of that thing. We get excited, and that's a really good thing. We're excited and we're passionate because we see what this change could do for our organization. And more importantly, and not just only for our organization, but for the people that we're supposed to be caring well for, the people that live in our organization. We see how this could change our experience as an individual in this organization just for the better. All of the above. We get excited and we start going down this path. And pretty quickly, we find ourselves overwhelmed because there is so much to do. We start with this idea that I am going to change things. And that's not bad or anything, I don't think. I mean, taking up the challenge of bringing about meaningful change, that's a courageous act. Being the voice of dissent in an organization, challenging the way that we've done things, sometimes for the past forever, that's a courageous act. Throwing yourself in front of the board and the vice presidents, in front of leaders, managers, in front of council, in front of everybody, and saying, hey, it's not that where we've been is like the worst thing ever. All of that was well intended, but we need to move in a different direction. And here's why. Having those conversations, that takes some courage. And at some point, if your experience has been anything like mine, you're going to catch a little bit of traction. People are going to start hearing what you're saying. That's a great thing. But at a certain point, they're going to say yes. And they're going to say, that's great. I like it. I love it. Yes, you go do it. Oh, no. This is where that hop army comes into play. Let me give you a little bit of my story with this. I had been working to bring about change in the organizations that I worked for a number of years. And doing that without really knowing that what I was doing was called HOP or Safety Differently, or that there was this, at that time, extremely small little community of people out there, and a couple books floating around, just a few, and a couple websites, just a few, not really knowing that any of that stuff existed. And so I'd left one company that I'd been doing this at, and doing a, I'm going to pat myself on the back here, as good of a job as we could with bringing about this more humanized approach to leadership within this organization. And I'd left this organization for a better job. Like, I'd got an offer. I was working, we were a big, large contractor. And the client that we were working for, even though this was a long-term contract, like years worth of contract, you know how this goes. There's no guarantee. You might have a 5-year contract, and then all of a sudden it's like, we're changing. Sorry, bye. And that usually means a shakeup of all the leadership, safety included. Whichever company is coming in, they're bringing their own. So there's always kind of that fear. Now, the client had taken note of what I was doing, though, and poached me. That's a pretty good feeling. Yeah, when you're in that, even with the big contract world, there's always kind of this thing of like, hey, maybe the client will like me and I'll take a role with the client. And that kind of happened. And I stepped into this organization and discovered a really great company that were doing amazing things and full of amazing people that somehow had gotten mired down in that blame-centered approach to leadership that we were mentioning. And I'd learned enough lessons at this point to know that I could bring about that change. And I had the courage to bring about that change. And I kicked around this idea with some folks close to me about bringing about that change. And they're like, heck yeah, let's do it. And this grew into a little bit of kind of what we would call secret squirrel conversations, because you couldn't really challenge some of this stuff openly in the organization. No, that's not healthy, but it's just where they were at. We had closed door secret conversations where we would talk about some of these concepts. And these kind of secret squirrel meetings grew and grew and grew and grew over time. And from these conversations, I kind of discovered, wait a second, there's a lot of people in this organization that are having similar thoughts. There's a lot of people in this organization that are ready to be a part of bringing about some of this change. And that's where I discovered some of the first people of this little hop army. The way that it played out was very similar to what we just described. I'm having these conversations. I'm bringing it up to leaders. I'm saying, hey, listen, let me tell you about this. You really think that's the right path? And eventually I got a yes. It was like, hey, yeah, like you go do that. And I had that moment of, oh no, what now? I've got a regular job. And now I get to do all this. Oh joy. I'm here for it, but how? I looked to that little group of folks, that little group of like-minded people. So there's something that I want you to put a little bit of thought into here if you're just getting started on this journey. Or maybe you're in it for a minute, but you're just relying on maybe the folks in your safety department. Or maybe you even stood up a hop department or a do things differently department, and you're just relying on those folks. That's great and all if you've got that support. That's great and all if you've got those extra hands, because you do need hands. But I want you to think about the people in your organization. Those folks that are out there already kind of doing this stuff, those bright spots in your organization, those leaders, especially if you're just getting started, that have probably never heard of HOP or Safety Differently or humanizing our approaches to safety, leadership, etc., have never heard of that stuff, but they're already kind of doing it, those are your people. Who are those people? Go talk to them. Go have those conversations. Go build that relationship with those people. Start to grow that bit of a HOP army. The way that ours looked was like this. We had a vice president. Yeah, that's cool. But we had a truck driver. We had a mechanic. We had a person from legal. We had all kinds of different frontline folks and safety folks and HR folks. About 20 of them altogether. All from wildly different roles. All with wildly different experiences. But all had a couple things in common. They were here for this kind of change, number one. That doesn't mean we all agreed on certain things, but we were here to figure it out together. Number two, everyone in that room was there voluntarily, meaning we didn't go around. I didn't go around and say, hey, you're helping me with HOP. And no, we would discover these folks as we were going over the first few months of thinking about how we were going to do this stuff. And when we would find these people, we would bring them into our little group. And they all brought something special and unique. Some had the ability to go out and teach stuff about human and organizational performance. Some people had the ability to go out and evangelize some of these concepts. Are you looking for a handy dandy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy kind of way to get conversations flowing around operational reality within your organization? These conversations around work is done versus work is imagined, pain points, problems, even best practices, the good stuff, the great stuff. Well, Starting Points is exactly what you're looking for. Starting Points, the original operationally curious card deck packed full of a ton of learning focused, operationally curious icebreaker questions to get those conversations flowing, helping your organization to effectively learn, improve, and innovate. Head over to thehopnerd.com/SP to download our free sample deck, to purchase the original card decks and learning journals, or to inquire about licensing options so that you can customize Starting Points with your brand, your logo, and your questions for your specific organization's needs. Again, that's thehopnerd.com/SP. Back to the show. Some of these people were learning team facilitators or learning team coaches. Some of these people were just great at spreading the word and telling the story. Our truck driver is an example. I think of this guy all the time just because he was so phenomenal. But he was the guy that we'd put in front of our executives all the time just because he was great at chatting with the executives, breaking this stuff down in a way that our executives could understand it. Really, not picking on you executive friends, I know. But really, really telling them the real deal story of why we needed this and how it would work and what it would mean not only for them, him as a truck driver in the organization, but for them as executives and how we could do this thing together. We grew this little HOP army over some time, really built on those key ideas. Different people, different walks of life in the organization, all there voluntarily, ready to do good work, do it for the right reasons, super passionate about it. All of us thinking a little bit different, good, because that's how we can figure out the right way forward. And we did just that. We figured out a bit of the right way forward. Some of the first things that we did is that we went out and we discovered as much as we could about what it really meant to work in this organization right now, in this more maybe blame-centered approach, less human-centered approach, and what people really wanted to see from the organization, what they really needed from the organization to be successful. We did a lot of that first. We used this team to go do that. As we got to the point of having more of these conversations and doing workshops and starting to stand up operational learning and using learning teams and all these different things that we tend to use in our world, we used this group of folks. When we needed to go give presentations to the board, we'd use our truck driver friend. Yeah, we would use these people in the right place. They were all just there to do cool things, to make a difference, to put a positive dent in our little work world, to leave things better than how they found them. And it was a group of badass MFers out there bringing about this change. So that's where I would encourage you to look. Look for those bright spots. Look for those people that already kind of get this stuff. I don't know what it's called, but they already kind of get this. They're passionate about it. Don't just go out and go, well, we need one leader and we need this and we need a truck driver. No, like that's not going to work. Look for people that want to show up and help you with this. Look for those kind of folks and stand up this little group of bright spots, this little hop army, if you will. That's just what we call it. You can call it whatever the heck you want to call it because you're going to need it. There's a bit of work that comes along with this stuff, and just dumping it on your safety group, that can work for a little bit. And some of your champions probably live in your safety group. They might live in your change management group. Maybe you stood up a hop group. Yep, some of those folks probably live there. But this isn't just a safety thing. Dumping it all on your safety folks who already have a full-time safety job. Yeah, you're going to wear them thin, and you're going to wear them thin real fast. You need to form this little ad hoc group. It doesn't have to be around forever. It surely doesn't. No, but there's some work that needs to be done. Who is going to tell the story of human and organizational performance within your organization? Who has the hands that are going to go put the hands on the things? Who's going to go and facilitate operational learning? Who's going to teach the workshops? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who's going to help this group work through this process and make this, you know, how are we going to bake this in over here? What are we going to do with this thing? It can't just be you. That doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You can try, and you can put a dent, but at a certain point, you're going to need some help. So you have to answer a couple questions. Who is going to help me do some of this work? You might have put in a whole bunch of work into getting that yes, okay, you've got our support. We kind of don't really get all of it, but it's making enough sense for us to let you go experiment with some of this stuff. But you've got the yes. Who's going to help? This has to be a we together thing. It can't be a me go do hop to an org thing. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way now that I'm a consultant. It didn't work that way when I worked inside of an organization. This has got to be something that we figure out together. And there's a bit of work that comes along. Once we get some of it figured out, we've actually got to go do stuff. That little hop army will help you do that without you dying along the way. And on top of that, you get a whole lot better end result because it's not just you locked in a room plotting how you're going to dominate your organization with human and organizational performance, or insert whatever you want to call it here. It's a group together figuring this out. More brains usually equals more better. Yeah, more brains, more better. Well, yeah, that's kind of how this plays out. You've got people that will help you and want to help you and are there to show up and do this with you. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. So again, I guess a little bit of a recap. This is going to be a bit of a shorty one compared to maybe some of our longer what now, which we are coming back with the what now in the near future. Just taking a quick pause to throw in a couple other episodes here as we go. Our what now miniseries will be back answering the, hey, this is great and all, what now question. We're going to start diving into some of the 10 ideas from my book, 10 ideas to make safety suck less. Some ideas that were deliberately built around action. So that one should be easy peasy what now. Yeah, we're going to work through them. We're going to talk about some stuff there. That's going to be a fun one. Or a fun 10. I don't know if we're going to do all 10. We'll do some maybe of my favorites. How about that? The number one list of the 10. The top. I can't say top 10. That's why I'm kind of stuttering here, I guess. I was going to say the top 10 list. Maybe it's the top 3 out of the top 10 list. I don't know. We'll have fun. You'll see. You're going to be as surprised as I am to see which ones we talk about. We'll figure it out. But a quick recap. Yes, for sure. It's great. You're going out there. You're trying to put a dent in it. You're doing the hard work of having these conversations. You're taking on, you're doing the brave act. You're courageous. You're going out and you're challenging. You're dissenting around some of the things that maybe we've always done that we now recognize as being just brutal and horrific to the people working within our organizations. And you're fighting hard to get a yes. You need some help. You need some help. You probably need help there. I would start now. If you're thinking about, hey, we're really trying to do something with this, start putting thought into who are our hop champions? Who are our bright spots? Who are the folks that are going to be here for this? They might not even know. Well, we're going to call it hop or this or that or the other, but man, oh man, they're already kind of leading this direction, or they're already kind of living up to these principles. They're already a shining example of this stuff. Find those folks. Grab those folks. Don't force them. Make it voluntary. But try to get them involved in the ways that they want to be involved. That could be the evangelist. That could be the storyteller. That could be the workshop instructor. That could be the learning team facilitator. That could be, hey, I don't want to do any of the above, but I'll do all the admin stuff for you. Like, I'm here. Like, you tell me you're doing a workshop, I'll make sure we get burritos. It could be that person. However they want to support. Meet them where they're at with what they're comfortable doing. And then, after we've gotten this group of folks together, make sure that the org is supporting them and actually doing this work. You need a little bit of time and a little bit of space to do some of this stuff. These folks have day jobs too. So take great care of these people and don't run them too thin, as we are known to do with our safety folks. My God, I've given you 4,700 tasks that are well outside of what you normally do. Why are you not successful? That must be a you problem. You're not trying hard enough. Don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. Get folks involved. Keep them involved. Let them help you with the work of this stuff, because this is not a you thing. This is a we thing. And the only way for you to be highly successful with this, to not kill yourself in the process of trying to bring about some of this change, is to keep it a we thing and to spread out some of this load. You can't do it all by yourself. The organization didn't get in the shape that it's in by one person going around doing all this stuff to the org. You're not going to change it as one person just going around trying to change everything within the organization. You need your hop army. Find them, support them, grow them, all of the above. And this whole process of bringing about change will be a whole lot less stressful for you. So there we go. What do you think about it? You can always send me your thoughts or questions, or if you want to be on the show, thehopnerd@gmail.com. And if you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, or insert whatever the heck we want to call it here, how about just humanizing our approaches to safety and beyond, on. If you want help from somebody that's actually done this internal to organizations, that has lived in your boots, I have been there. I have been in that confined space and in that trench, and I have been doing that learning team in an organization where we really want to blame people. I know. I've been there. I know the frustration that you face, and I brought that change about successfully. If you need a hand from somebody that's lived it, I'm your person, thehopnerd@gmail.com. I would love to come out and support you any way that I can, from learning team facilitation to teaching workshops and everything in between. I would be happy to help you. Until next time, it is the Hop Nerd, Sam Goodman, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.